Breaking news today on Secio is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar says she doesn't regret her anti-Semitic statements and then takes a shot at her Jewish colleagues. We'll talk about that more today on Secio.
Live from Washington, D.C., Secio Live.
Do you regret these comments?
I don't. I think it's really important to think back to the point that I was trying to make. Obviously, I was addressing Secretary of State Blinken.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Do you understand why some of your fellow House Democrats, especially Jews, find that language anti-Semitic?
I have welcomed any time, you know, my colleagues have asked to have a conversation, to learn from them, for them to learn from me. I think it's really important for these members to realize that they haven't been partners in injustice. They haven't been, equally engaging in seeking justice around the world.
And now your host, Jordan Secio.
Quite a statement from Congressman Omar to say that her Jewish colleagues are not at the same level of fighting injustice around the world. As we've said, this is someone who is a refugee to the United States. She talks about that openly, and that's not a slam at all. A lot of people came to the United States as refugees, but the idea of not knowing her history, she's trying to right now on Twitter walk this back, and she's talking about how Jews in America were involved in the civil rights movement and very upfront. I mean, if you see any of the pictures of Martin Luther King, any of the marches, you will see rabbis right in the front. You usually see priests as well. I mean, so this is, again, part of the American experience is she is leaving out, and the history she's leaving out as well. But the doubling down of these statements, going on a TV interview that she doesn't have to do, no one's forcing her to go on Jake Tapper to make these statements, to talk about this 2 weeks later. But doubling down and then taking a shot at the colleagues by saying they don't understand injustice is, to me, again, the danger of an Ilhan Omar, because she gets the slap on the wrist, and that's about it consistently for the Democrat Party.
Look, Congresswoman stated that her Jewish colleagues haven't been partners in justice. I mean, how much more, first of all, how much more historically incorrect is that? So she doesn't know her history. Well, that's one thing. But the statement itself shows the nature of why she makes these statements that are both anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. Two separate issues, but very similar. This is someone that said she does not regret her tweet from earlier this month, earlier in June, where she lumped Israel, the United States, Hamas, and the Taliban together and said all of them should be at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, which I have a little bit of an experience with because I have presented arguments before the ICC in cases involving Israel and the United States. So not many lawyers can say that they've actually done that. I've actually done that. She has no clue of the history of her colleagues, by the way, most of which are Democrats, and their fight for civil rights and what the Jewish community itself has experienced over history. A complete lack of understanding, Andy, of history. That's what it is.
Well, it is. It's obviously someone who's never read a history book and doesn't understand the history of the Jews. She ought to start with Josephus, the ancient, the Hellenistic Jew, Roman writer, who wrote a history of the Jews to learn how they came to be and what they came to be, and then read the deed book of Israel, the Bible, and learn what that's all about, and then look at what recent history was in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s in Europe to understand what the history of the Jews is.
And I'm going to say, we'll get into this in the next segment of the broadcast and later in the broadcast, but Professor Hutchinson, Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, has written a law review article that's been published at St. Mary's University called Campus Free Speech in the Mirror of Rising Anti-Semitism. So we are taking action on all this. We've represented Jewish students. We've represented Jewish faculty members. This congresswoman should be censured by the United States Congress. We want to hear your opinion on all that.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Just understand what she did. She sought out the media to double down on these statements, to not back away, to not try to reframe, but to double down on these statements and then take another shot at a whole group of people saying they don't understand injustice. This is, again, to me, it's time for the Democrat Party to act by removing her from those committees, and the slap on the wrist aren't enough anymore. We'll be right back on Secio.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. On today's broadcast, we're also going to be joined by Mike Pompeo. He'll be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast, and Congressman Mike Waltz, who will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. He authored the censure resolution against Ilhan Omar, and so he'll be joining us the next segment.
I've got a question I wanted to ask Stan. So the censure resolution has been introduced. First of all, what's been the reaction, kind of the behind-the-scenes talk, about Congresswoman Omar's outrageous anti-Semitic statements?
Well, there's been such a long track record here, and finally, the last time around, about a month ago, Jay, when she made those troubling remarks, you finally got a joint statement from Speaker Pelosi and her leadership team, sort of softly condemning it. But we said this at the time, Jay, if she says those words and doesn't actually take any action, it doesn't mean a whole lot. About the same time, there was a letter sent condemning the actions by 12 Democrat members of the House. So clearly, Congressman Omar is pushing up against that line. But my question today, though, Jay, is both for Speaker Pelosi and those 12 Democrat members of Congress. Did you mean it last time when she made these anti-Semitic remarks? Did you mean it when you said you have to knock it off, otherwise you are not going to have seats on the committee, you're not going to be a part of our conference? Because she's done it again, Jay. So the question now for them is, will you take action to actually enforce the words that you said the last time around? And Jordan referenced Congressman Waltz. The last time around, he introduced this censure resolution and called on Speaker Pelosi to either censure Congresswoman Omar, or at least take action or remove her from committees. It will be interesting to see, Jay, what he has to say. Has he heard anything from Speaker Pelosi today? Because I sure haven't.
You know, Harry, you've got a great Law Review article that's been published called Campus Free Speech in the Mirror of Rising Anti-Semitism. We're going to get into it in greater detail later in the broadcast. But these kind of statements by these congresswomen, or congressmen, if they were to make them, that are anti-Semitic, and the statement she made, her Jewish colleagues haven't been partners for justice. This aids and abets, encourages the anti-Semitism that you're seeing on college campuses among faculty members and students themselves.
Absolutely, and it's very, very important to note that faculty and students are prepared to go even further in the virulence of their attacks on Jews on campus. They're willing to deprive Jewish faculty members of their rights to speak. Amy Wax, a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, for instance, she's been censured by her colleagues. She's a Jewish faculty member, and they have called her writings the equivalent of swastikas and crosses. So it's very, very important that we call out Ilhan Omar. But as a predicate to doing so, I think it's even more imperative that we call out House Speaker Pelosi and the Democrat Party leadership in the House. What have they done? Virtually everything they have done has simply encouraged Ilhan Omar to go further. Why? There are no repercussions so far. So until there are repercussions, until she is made to pay a price, then I expect Ilhan Omar will continue down this disastrous road.
You know, I want everybody to hear the sound, too. I mean, this is, again, this is what's spawning this conversation again today. And I do believe, and I'll go to Than after we play it, but that this again, because of her appearance and because of the statement she made about the injustice, she's trying to walk it back on Twitter as we're live on the air right now in this long Twitter thread, if you will. But take a listen, Byte 27.
Some of your fellow House Democrats have been frustrated, as you know. They've told you this publicly, and I'm sure possibly privately, because they want to join you in your fight for justice. But sometimes you've made comments that offend them. In 2019, you said lawmakers support Israel because it's, quote, all about the Benjamins, which implies that politicians only support Israel because of money. There was a tweet from 2012 when you said Israel had hypnotized the world. Do you understand why some of your fellow House Democrats, especially Jews, find that language anti-Semitic?
I have welcomed any time, you know, my colleagues have asked to have a conversation, to learn from them, for them to learn from me. I think it's really important for these members to realize that they haven't been partners in injustice. They haven't been, equally engaging in seeking justice around the world.
So, I mean, there it is, Than. How will Nancy Pelosi not respond to that? And those colleagues that she takes that swipe at, who, again, were the colleagues who condemned her initial statement. So they're Democrat Jewish members of Congress. That she's saying don't understand injustice. To me, this, again, it puts Nancy Pelosi in that situation. Is it just going to be on a slap of the wrist, though?
There's no excuse for not responding to this if you're Speaker Pelosi. Look, Congressman Omar is telling us who she is. She may try to walk it back on Twitter, but it's happened time and time again. Actually, I thought Kevin McCarthy said it right. He said, I think Nancy Pelosi should remove Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. This is an individual who has not once, but on numerous occasions, been anti-Semitic. So now there's a choice, Jordan. Look, voters send members of Congress to Congress, but it is the party leaders who decide what their message on each committee is. Right now, Jordan, the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. is saying what Congressman Omar is saying, that is the message we want to put out on the Foreign Affairs Committee. If that's not the message that Speaker Pelosi wants to put out, Jordan, there's only one action for her to take. She needs to be off the committee, and she needs to be off the committee today.
But every statement she makes, everything she says is worse. In other words, she's just speaking what's on her mind because she actually believes this. And she's not, you know, this isn't an attack on Republicans. This is attacking fellow Democrats that happen to be Jewish, and she has to call that out. So I go back to that, haven't been partners in justice, and then equating, of course, the United States with Hamas and the Taliban and Israel, and should all be at the ICC. This shows a complete lack of understanding, not just history, but fact.
Well, she doesn't know fact.
She doesn't know fact, and she doesn't care to know. She says, I think I have always been someone who is humbled, lie. Someone who understands how words can be harmful, lie, and hurtful to people, lie, and untruth. She doesn't have any understanding of that. She opens her mouth and she makes ridiculous remarks. She is what Representative Biggs from Arizona called a rabid anti-Semite. She is un-American in the sense that she does not embrace all philosophies. She is a fool for equating the Taliban and Hamas with the United States and Israel in terms of injustice and wrong in the world. And groups who engage in terrorism like Hamas and Taliban foment prejudice and undermine progress. This is what the Democrats said in a joint statement. And I can't believe that. They're you know, on one hand, condemning her or with very faint praise, very carefully doing so.
But they're really afraid to. I mean,
but they're scared of her, yeah. Jay. And she shouldn't be on the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
The fact of the matter, no, she shouldn't. But the fact of the matter is, Harry, they're scared of her. They're scared of what she says.
And I think House Speaker Pelosi and other Democratic leaders, they are in some sense paralyzed by Representative Omar. Keep in mind, she has unwisely lumped Israel, the Taliban, Hamas, and the United States together. At the same time, she fails to acknowledge what is obvious. That is, we all owe a deep debt to Jews the world over. Very few groups have been more consistent in fighting against injustice. She ought to consider, for instance, the fate of the Uyghurs in China, the fate of the Christians in Nigeria, Pakistan, and Iran. Where is Representative Omar? She is nowhere to be found. She is in a silo surrounded by individuals who basically have created an echo chamber, and no one is prepared, apparently, to call her out.
She's called for every illegal immigrant in the United States to have a pathway to citizenship, while she's condemning Jews as not being part of justice. Now, can I ask you a political question here, Jordan? What's in this for the Democratic Party to not take action? Why are they not taking real action on
Because the left wing of their party is this anti-Israel wing of the party. They try to separate and say, well, it's anti-Israel doesn't mean anti-Jewish. But you see with Ilhan Omar, she's not making those distinctions anymore. Do you see? She's now talking about American Jews not understanding injustice. First of all, if you look when she came to America versus a lot of these people when they grew up, there was injustice against Jews and
terrible
in the United States. It wasn't just what happened in Germany or the longer history, but also a lack of understanding about the history of Jews in America. If you're going to make these statements, you probably should get some information to know that, you know, it's not like everybody who is Jewish in America came because of the Holocaust. And there were Jews in the founding of America. There were Jews here 100 plus years before the Holocaust or more, and with a long history. But there's also been a history of oppression in this country and racism in this country, specifically targeted Jews. In fact, anti-Semitic hate crimes are usually the number one hate crimes in America. They're the most common hate crime in America is attacks on the Jewish community. But she is trying to say that these members of Congress don't understand. Now, we come back. We're going to talk to Congressman Matt Waltz about exactly how Mike Waltz about how Congress is trying to move forward and put forward these censure resolutions to condemn Ilhan Omar and, of course, have her removed from the committee, which is what Nancy Pelosi could do. That's the kind of power. Nancy Pelosi can't remove her as a member of Congress, but she can remove her as a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined in a moment by Congressman Mike Waltz from Florida, who put forward the censure resolution against Ilhan Omar, a House colleague of his as well.
You know, we just played in the break, for those that are watching on our social media platforms, part of my presentation to the ICC in the courtroom. And as I said, I mean, we're not Andy and I and Jordan were there and involved in this. We're not doing this to brag. It's just not a lot of lawyers have had experience with that. We have. And so when they make these statements, these lumping Hamas with Israel, with the United States, with the Taliban, these are really dangerous statements on an international platform that this congresswoman is making. And when she's making them, unfortunately, it's an international platform because everybody follows her. But I think we have the congressman with
us now.
That's
right. Congressman Mike Waltz from Florida's 6th Congressional District is joining us now on the broadcast. He authored the censure resolution against Representative Omar. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be with you guys.
Let me ask you first, you saw your colleague has come out again. She chose to do this interview with Jake Tapper on CNN to double down on her statement, saying she doesn't regret those statements, and taking a shot at her fellow Democrats who happen to be Jewish members of Congress, saying they don't understand injustice and they haven't been in the fight for injustice. Your thoughts on her coming out yet again and doubling down on these statements?
Well, you know, number one, to say that that Jewish members of Congress, that the Jewish people don't understand injustice is just beyond the pale. I think, number one. Number two, you know, I've served as a Green Beret. I've fought all over the world. I have seen women at the hands of the Taliban abused, acid thrown on their faces, girls' schools burnt down, one even machine gunned with the girls in them. So to put the Taliban on the same level with Israel, with the United States, is jaw-droppingly offensive. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I hope Pelosi will put her money where her mouth is. And we passed a censure resolution in 2019. The Democrats stood up then. I hope to see another one on the floor from the speaker. But like I said, you know, talk's cheap. We'll see if she walks the walk.
You know, it's interesting, Congressman. In the resolution, it says that it's condemning and censoring the representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York and Rashid Tlaib of Michigan, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. And the reason it's done is for defending foreign terrorist organizations and inciting anti-Semitic attacks across the United States. At the ACLJ, we're dealing with a lot of students, Jewish students on college campuses, and professors too, for that matter, that are being targeted because of their support for Israel or because they're Jewish. And what we're concerned about, and I'm so glad you've got this resolution in, is that this type of language encourages and incites that activity.
Well, that's right. We've seen attacks on Jewish Americans across the country just in the last few months. I don't think that's any coincidence when you have members of Congress with their national platform making these kinds of comparisons. And you and I know, I've been to Israel. I've seen the bunkers that are in almost every Israeli's home. Yep. That have to be in their bus stops and their schools because Hamas is launching rockets into their cities to deliberately cause civilian casualties. And what's more, they're doing it from behind their own civilians and behind their own people, launching from schoolyards, buildings with journalists in it. Look, I've been shot at by terrorists hiding behind women and children. And the restraint that we showed, the restraint that the Israelis show, I think speaks to the democracy that they are and the absolute animals that these terrorists are.
You know, I know you've experienced that in your career, and Jordan and I have experienced incoming rockets in our legal work in defense of Israel and actually defending Palestinian Christians, trying to get them out of Gaza and the control of Hamas, and it was during Operation Cast Lead, and we were there while those rockets were coming in.
Yeah, that's right. And Congressman, you are the first Green Beret to serve in Congress, and Omar wants you and your colleagues in the military to be subject to the International Criminal Court. That is how she is kind of casting this new her new doubling down is that, well, this is all about really justice and bringing forward, you know, U.S. service members before the International Criminal Court. It's something we fought at the ACLJ, this idea
at the ICC,
but also the idea of ever giving jurisdiction to the ICC. This would put people like you in jeopardy around the world, because if this court could arrest you, and of course we have a military justice system in our country that is more than sufficient.
Well, that's absolutely right, and we all know that the ICC has been repeatedly used by a number of groups around the world to try to go after U.S. service members, right? That's longstanding, and that's why the United States has never bought into it. But, you know, if Omar and the rest of the squad, who, by the way, I've renamed the Hamas caucus, yep, were serious about helping the Palestinian people, how about helping us remove Hamas, who took over Gaza, by force? How about we help get aid actually to the people rather than being diverted by the corrupt government in the Palestinians? How about we work with us so that they're not taught that terrorism is okay in Palestinian schools? There's a lot of things that we could do to actually help the Palestinian people if they were serious about it. But propping up a terrorist government with their terrorist activities and then trying to put them on the same level as the United States of America and, frankly, the Israeli government, that, as we know, have Arabs, Jews, people of all stripes in their parliament, in their Knesset, is yep, sad, it's despicable, and we're going to call it out.
Our colleague Andy Economist, senior counsel for the ACLJ, has a question for you.
Congressman Waltz, I'm a Florida native, too, although I've defected to Georgia, but I want to say that I've looked at your record in the Army and the military, and it is impressive, and thank you so much for your service, and because you have been worldwide in what you have done, I want to ask you, what is the danger of having someone like Ilhan Omar as a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee? What message does that send?
Well, it's twofold. Number one, this is a war of ideas. This is a war against extremism. You know, I say it's relatively easy to bomb a tank. It's very difficult to bomb an idea. That's why I have children on the front of my book, Warrior Diplomat, because it's their hearts and minds that we are seeking to eventually win over and to not be radicalized. And so when you have a United States, a member of the United States Congress espousing this nonsense, it actually works against America in this war of idea and our local allies around the world in Afghanistan, the Kurds, and others. But number two, more practically, is our foreign arms sales, our foreign military sales and foreign military financing passes through that committee for approval. That's exactly where the arms packages go for Israel, our support to Israel, and to so many others, and she's a voting member of that committee. And that is incredibly disturbing to me, and I hope when we win the majority back, we remove her from the committee.
Well, Congressman, thank you for joining us. This is Congressman Walt from Florida, who's the first Green Beret to serve in Congress. He authored that resolution. So, Congressman Mike Waltz, it was a pleasure to have you on the broadcast. Great to have your insight. Thank you for your service to the country and for speaking out on this, not being afraid to take on Ilhan Omar, and as you said, the Hamas caucus, which just realize that that's real and it's happening. And the left in the country is putting that pressure where Pelosi not taking the action that maybe she even would have 2 years ago. Thank you, Congressman. We'll be right back. Second half hour, Secular coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Sekulow. For a second half hour of the broadcast, former Secretary of State and ACLJ Senior Counsel Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast as well. Just to reset for you, if you're just joining us on the broadcast, we're talking about Ilhan Omar. She decided on her own to go on CNN and double down and her statements, which, again, she will sometimes back away from, but then comes back and says, I don't regret saying it. So all those times she's tried to reset what she said or reword it, she's not backing away from any of it. And in fact, she's taking an aggressive step in this interview by saying, not only is she not backing away from any of these statements, including all about the Benjamins, which Jake Tapper reminded her of saying, but she's also taking the second step, which is to say it's the reason she speaks out this way is because her colleagues who have been more have condemned her, and specifically her Jewish colleagues, don't understand this fight for injustice, haven't been involved in the fight for injustice like she has. And so because their experience is different from hers, and I don't know what injustice she's faced in America.
Right.
I mean, I think the Somali-American community where she's from in Minnesota, it's the dominant minority, is the majority of that district. She fled war.
Right.
She admits that to seek refuge in the United States. Not to say everything is perfect, but it's the fact that we have those communities even where you can easily seek refuge and be in with people who speak your language, who understand your culture, your ideas, have time to assimilate. The questions are why, again, this hatred for America,
yeah,
and this hatred for the American experience, and then this specific class of Americans constantly going after Jewish Americans.
Yes, that was one of the things, Harry, I was going to ask. Cause as I said, Harry Hutchinson's written a great law review article at St. Mary's University called Campus Free Speech in the Mirror of Rising Anti-Semitism, because it's a real problem on campus. But it's interesting that she has targeted the Jewish community with this.
Absolutely. But I also think from her perspective, this will indeed pay political dividends. Mm. So I think it's very, very important that Representative Omar is one of the leading sources of pernicious ideas in the United States. Congressman Waltz has rightly suggested that we are engaged in a war against ideas. And I would then thirdly point out that one of the main sources, in addition to Representative Omar, of pernicious ideas is found where? On university campuses. So I think it's very important for all Americans, particularly our listeners, to be engaged and to fight anti-Semitism wherever it can be found. And it's also important to note that on campus, the voices, the anti-Semitic voices, are actually worse than Representative Omar. And they are attempting to shut down Jewish students, Jewish organizations. Part of this is driven by what? Antipathy toward the nation state of Israel. So remember, former Secretary of State John Kerry suggested that that Israel can be either a Jewish state or a democratic state.
But
it cannot be both.
Yeah.
This is the idea that Representative Omar, Representative Tlaib, they're both pushing this idea, and hence we now have a vibrant boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement on campus, which is seeking to disallow U.S. firms and entities from investing in Israel. So I urge our listeners to be alert and to fight against this anti-Semitism wherever it can be found.
And this is interesting, too, because on the national level, this makes news. And it makes news on all the networks. But Catherine just wrote it on Facebook, and she's in the Twin Cities where Omar represents in Minneapolis. Now, she said not one TV station here in the Twin Cities has covered these remarks. So while we may see it at a national level, at the local level, this may not be getting the attention it deserves, and what the politics there as well at the local level of trying to silence any criticism of people like Omar when they make these statements. We'll be right back with Secretary of State Pompeo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Congresswoman Omar was pressed by Jake Tapper, saying, you know, the doubling down. I'm not backing away from the statements. She came back and said she's humble. She understands words can be hurtful. The interesting part about this, though, she keeps doubling down. She decides, I want to make that clear. These interviewers, they ask you, do you want to come on and do the interview? She decided to then go double down and then take the shot, say that her fellow colleagues don't understand the experience of it fighting injustice.
Because she has no understanding of history.
No, absolutely no understanding of history. If she had an understanding of history, she wouldn't be making these despicable remarks. And that's what they are, despicable.
Yep.
We're joined now by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, ACLJ Senior Counsel. Secretary Pompeo, let me just ask you, because we keep seeing this doubling down by Ilhan Omar, which puts Nancy Pelosi in an interesting spot, because she tried to say this was done last time. They said she, you know, corrected her statement. But she's going back on, and she's continuing with the line of trying to cast it all on the fact, well, really, this is all about my support for the International Criminal Court getting jurisdiction over the United States and Israel. I mean, this is a specific. She's an activist for this, and I think people need to acknowledge that and understand what she's doing every time she goes on in the media.
Yes, this is intentional. She knows precisely what she's doing. She knows exactly who she's tweaking and how she's doing it, and she has a deep view that is at fundamental odds with the way America protects itself, protects its own people. Right? This playing footsie with the International Criminal Court, we have nothing to do with this. We didn't sign the deal. We didn't sign up for it. They're trying to go after Americans who were serving in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're going after Israelis that have just been doing work to defend the country of Israel. She knows precisely what little cute game she's playing, and it is dangerous, and we shouldn't let other Democrats who claim to be Zionists, pro-Israel, who claim to say, no, we don't want our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, all our public officials subject to this rogue court in The Hague. They should have to declare. Now, you got to pick a side on this one. You can't say, oh, we talked to her and she issued a statement. That's all just silliness. We know what she believes, and we need the leadership of the Democrat Party to distance itself from them.
You know, it's interesting, Mr. Secretary, that, of course, I've been to The Hague. I argued multiple times at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, in fact, on both of those issues, both on Israel's behalf and presenting an argument on why the United States, to the full panel of the court, on why the United States should not be a subject to jurisdiction. And as you said, because we haven't signed the Rome Statute, there is no jurisdiction. Now, that court does not follow precedent. They make it up as they go. It's an embarrassment with the rules of evidence. People they've prosecuted have had their convictions overturned because of the duplicity of the evidence, the lack of disclosure that the prosecutors have made. Yet Ilhan Omar and this whole group on the left are bent on having the United States part of this Rome Statute, part of the ICC. Now, so far the Biden administration says, well, you know, we're opposed to it. My concern here, and it is the pressure from the left is going to mount over time. And I don't know where Joe Biden's heart is on this. I don't know where Secretary Blinken's heart is on this. But the pressure coming in on the left is very strong. And this would be a very dangerous move if the United States were to become part of the ICC.
Jay, you're so right. You've been there. You've lived that. And the ACLJ has done amazing work in front of the ICC, but you've lived it. Her mission said, I think you nailed it. Her mission said is twofold. One is this issue around the ICC, right? She talks about, we want all victims of crimes against humanity. There were no crimes against humanity committed by the Americans. When we had a soldier behave in a way that was inconsistent with the rules of armed conflict, we did everything we could to prosecute them. We want people doing it right. And I'm proud of that. We don't need three crazy people, including Fatou Bensouda, the woman running the ICC, prosecutor's court, who is fundamentally corrupt, and we sanctioned her for that in the Trump administration. She's trying to do two things. One, she's trying to create a moral equivalence between the United States and terrorists, and that is a really dangerous thing. And then second, she's trying to create some space to grow international law, so these countries that feel like they've been oppressed can have a space, and she is creating the umbrella for them to do just that, to come after Americans and Israelis who are doing good work to defend their own people.
Mr. Secretary, let me ask you a question on Iran. A UN investigator on human rights has called for an independent inquiry into allegations of state-ordered executions of thousands of political prisoners in 1988 and the role played by President-elect Ibrahim Raisi as the Tehran deputy prosecutor. Could this call for by this investigator be used to put pressure on Iran in these nuclear talks going on?
Well, I was happy to see that. 30 years too late, maybe.
Yeah.
Look, we know what happened in 1988. This fellow is known, and frankly, he doesn't walk away from it. He's the butcher of Tehran. He killed multiple thousands of his own people. There was a commission of three that he served on. He is a horrible man with Iranian blood on his hands. And I'm happy that they're going to do an independent investigation. I know if they do it well and they do it honestly, we know what they will find. I can't imagine this convincing the Biden administration to walk away from the nuclear deal. They know who Ibrahim Raisi is as well. There's no doubt in the American mind. You'll recall we sanctioned him. We had sufficient U.S. evidence to sanction him for his human rights violations. We did that in 2019. I'm happy to have additional inquiry. I'd love the world more broadly to know what Ibrahim Raisi did. The fact that we are sitting down at the table and going to cut a deal with him, a deal that will allow the terror regime to have hundreds of billions of dollars more wealth, is an enormously dangerous activity.
We also know, Secretary Pompeo, that's over the weekend, there were new airstrikes against Iranian proxies in Iraq and Syria. And so there's that. But then there's also reporting that the United States government is considering lifting sanctions specifically on the Ayatollah himself. The mixed messaging that, you know, we're carrying out airstrikes against, you know, Iranian aggression through their proxies, and at the same time putting forward, you know, that we're trying to get back into the nuclear deal and even considering lifting sanctions on the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Your list just highlights the folly of the whole deal. I am confident in those talks. The Iranians are telling the Americans, we're going to continue to enrich uranium to higher and higher levels, and we're going to head down the path towards a nuclear weapon. But we don't really want a nuclear weapon. But we're going to head down a path to a nuclear weapon unless you lift sanctions on not only the Ayatollah, but on the president-elect Raisi himself. We'll lift sanctions on the IRGC and other terror outfits. And at best, we'll get an agreement that they'll slow down their enrichment program for a handful of years. I don't know how you hold those to your point. I don't know how you hold those two thoughts in your head at the same time, Jordan. It's truly odd, dangerous, and illogical.
Mike, there's another thing I thought about also, and I mentioned this on our broadcast yesterday, in diplomatic negotiations and multilateral negotiations that I've been involved in over the years of practicing law and dealing with foreign governments. There was, you know, the phrase, the confidence building measure. So the United States confidence building measure with negotiating with the Iranians in Vienna is, you know, we're considering lifting sanctions against the Iranian regime, but also against the Ayatollah himself. That's the confidence building measure. The confidence building measure of the Iranians is we use proxies to kill American soldiers. I mean, this shows you how ridiculous this procedure is. You, as Secretary of State, were instrumental, really key, in sanctioning both the Ayatollah and the now president-elect. And I think it'd be important in the last minute and a half we got left here for people to understand how important it is to send that message of sanction.
Those sanctions did two things. One, they sent a message, an important message, that we weren't going to tolerate the Iranians killing their own people, these massive human rights violations, that we weren't going to tolerate their continued terror efforts, right, these proxy forces. I mean, they're launching, even today, launching missiles from Yemen into Saudi Arabia almost every day. No country should have to tolerate that. These are Iranian rockets. We saw what Hamas did, launching rockets in Israel. Those sanctions send a message. The second thing they did is they denied resources to the regime. Right? You need money and wealth to build out terror proxies, to pay the soldiers, to build the artillery, to continue to improve your programs. We denied them. I think we saw the Iranian senior leadership last week announce that we denied them over $100 billion of resources in the course of what was only about 18 or 24 months. There are two purposes. To lift those sanctions, we'll have things blowing up all over Europe, all over the Middle East, in increasing numbers, and we'll have an ephemeral nuclear agreement. It's a bad outcome, and I have no confidence in any of the measures that they're building.
Secretary Pompeo, we always appreciate you joining us on the broadcast as Senior Counsel with the ACLJ to discuss these issues, the importance of these issues. We come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, your comments, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, YouTube, and of course, if you want to join us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast live. But always great to have the insight from Secretary Pompeo. Again, on all these issues, how they all kind of fit together as well. I mean, the idea of what's happening in Iran, the airstrikes, and they kind of, you know, they get reported in the news and we move on from that. But then doesn't really work. The idea that you're going to have these airstrikes at the same time you're also going to be going into a nuclear deal. But again, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls. Final segment coming up, 1-800-684-3110. As always, I encourage you to check out aclj.org as well. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
back to Seculo. We're just joined by our senior counsel, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on Congresswoman Omar. I want to play this by you. We haven't played it yet. This is when Jake Tapper asked about just the question, do you regret the comments you made by 11?
Do you regret these comments?
I don't. I think it's really important to think back to the point that I was trying to make. Obviously, I was addressing Secretary of State Blinken. The cases are put together in front of the ICC. ICC has been investigating. I know that, you know, some of my colleagues don't lend legitimacy to the ICC, but I tend to think that people around the world who have experienced injustice need to be able to have a place where they can go. And as a country that helped found the ICC and supported it, I think that it is really important for us to continue to find ways in which people can find justice around the world.
What history? The United States never joined the Rome Statute.
No.
Objected to the Rome Statute, yeah, because of its context from the beginning.
And we don't recognize the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. We're not signatories to the Rome Statute. So once again, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
That was the Clinton years,
yeah,
the 1990s. So this was not a partisan issue at all. And it has, so far, until the squad has come around, as the Hamas caucus, as the congressman called them.
I think that's more accurate.
This wasn't a really partisan issue. The idea of the ICC, even in liberal politics and liberal politicians, mainstream, you know, once they're getting elected, not the activists at the campus level, they were not at all even toying with this idea. But now the activists at the campus level are getting elected.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah, you know, that's, I was going to throw that to Than. I mean, that is part of the problem here, is that the radicals that were on their campuses 15 years ago are now members of the squad, or as I like calling better, the Hamas caucus.
That's really one of the most important underlying points. I mean, look, I think all through the responses, Congressman Omar believes that the United States is incapable of achieving justice. She thinks we're a country of oppression. And I just want to remind everybody, she is a refugee to the United States that now sits as a member of Congress.
Yeah.
How does that sound like oppression to you? I think it's a land of opportunity that she has clearly experienced. But, Jay, I think we have to reiterate this point time and time again. We've talked a lot about Speaker Pelosi and how she could right this wrong. You know who else could right this wrong? If 5 of these 12 Democrat members who are not members of leadership would actually put actions behind their words and say, you know what, it's time. It's time for her to lose her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She would lose her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Jay, it's time for them to stand up.
I want to go to Harry Hutchinson for a moment here, because Harry has written a really great law review article, an in-depth scholarly piece called Campus Free Speech in the Mirror of Rising Anti-Semitism. Harry, what's the thesis of this? Because we know from our experience at the ACLJ in representing students and professors that this is a real problem.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, it's important to note that there has been a significant rise in anti-Semitism, first in the United States, but secondly on American campuses. Indeed, anti-Semitism over the last several years has risen by about 75%. And so Jews suffer from the most discrimination of any religious group in the United States. But what is equally sad is that that type of discrimination, that type of harassment, has now become politically acceptable on mainstream campuses. And so the leadership of many leading universities, they are unwilling to crack down on obvious instances of anti-Semitism. Now, their failure to do so is, in my view, in violation of both Title VI and Title IX of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And when those two statutory provisions were passed, then the United States government created administrative and bureaucratic rules designed to ensure the enforcement of those laws. But universities, and this applies to private universities as well, because private universities receive federal funds, they are still unwilling to crack down. Why? In part because their sympathies are drawn first to the Palestinians, and secondly, their antipathy is drawn to the nation state of Israel, which is now classified almost officially on many campuses as an apartheid state. So we ignore the history of Israel. We ignore the history of the Jews, and it's now become a politically correct festival throughout the United States, and it is aimed at one thing only, and that is harassing Jews and then allowing the harassers to escape punishment.
You know, and it's the politics of this I'm finding very troubling, because that wing of the Democratic Party, even attacking their own members here. Remember, the first comment that we launched with was, you know, Jews haven't been part of the progress for social justice. And this is what she said. But the politics of this, you would think, would be so strong that the Democratic Party would come out and say, that's wrong, that's incorrect, your apology is not enough because it's not an apology, and you just double down on it on Jake Tapper, even though you're trying to kind of quasi-walk this back. But I think the left of the party is so strong politically, they can't do it.
Yeah, that you take these specific congressional seats where they're safe to talk this way and to use this kind of rhetoric, which also is troubling because as a leader in her community, where you've got a lot of Somali Americans, specifically in Minneapolis, by her using this language, that's encouraging them, and the Islamist kind of language, which, by the way, they all fled their home country because of Islamic radicalism.
Right.
But then you start using this language. This is language that would seem somewhat familiar to a lot of these individuals. Though when they came to America, they were probably learning that this was not right, this was wrong, and we're learning about different people. That's part of the experience of immigrating or seeking refuge, as most of that community did. But this, using this rhetoric, encourages that extremism within her community as well that she represents.
But it appears, Andy, I've got quickly for Thin, but and it appears that it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. The left wing of the party has taken over, and they're scared of her. They're really scared of her. They don't know what she's going to do or what she's going to say next. But I keep coming back to the belief, in my opinion, that having her as a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, who makes decisions on the policy of the House of Representatives with regard to foreign affairs, and making these outrageous statements equating the United States, Israel, the Taliban, and Hamas, is unacceptable and absolutely outrageous.
And Fan, is there the congressman was on. He did a great job with us. He's got the resolution in there. What's going to happen?
It depends on the members of the Democrat Party, Jay, that say there is a problem with this. Look, every member of Congress, I know this very well, every member of Congress has their own voting card. Speaker Pelosi does not get to go to the well of the Congress and vote for every member of Congress. I'm not surprised that she's in the wrong place on this. And because of that, Jay, this is not just the position of Congresswoman Omar. It's the position of the Democrat Party until she takes action. But in the absence of her taking action, Jay, every single member of the Democrat Party goes down to the floor and casts their own vote. If five of them would say, I'm serious, this is a problem, she would lose her seat. That's what needs to happen.
All right, folks, again, this is something we're going to watch very carefully because we haven't seen yet reaction from her colleagues, especially from the leadership in the Democrat Party. You know, we had Congressman Waltz on there. You see, the Republicans responding. But how will Nancy Pelosi handle this when last time she said, oh, this is set and done? She clarified her remarks. We don't have to keep going through this. We don't have to keep going down this trail. And yet, she's constantly putting the Democrat leadership in the position of having to address very uncomfortable issues like anti-Semitism in 2021 in America. We'll talk to you next time on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.